Well, I took just a little bit of video for our webpage. We got a new webpage and wanted to get some actual worship footage so that people who kind of tune in, they say, oh, look at those people worshiping. I think I'll, you know, think I might go there. Now, I know some of your reaction is kind of like, that's kind of weird. I don't know why are you doing this? That's not right, right? Some of you say, well, this isn't right because this is a holy moment. This is a special holy moment, and we're supposed to be just worshiping God, and there you are standing up there filming it, right? You don't try and capture something. You don't try and preserve something special like that. And you might say, Greg, what are you doing? You're missing the point of worship. You don't do that. And you would be right. You don't have to worry. I wasn't really filming you. Okay. So for those of you who did something funny, don't worry. You're not. I don't capture it. But you ever stop and think sometimes how often we might miss the point with God? Our actions, think about our actions and the way we respond in certain situations, the stances that we take on certain issues, the causes that we support, the politics that we back. And we want to be doing the right thing, but what if we are missing the point in that? I mean, you think about it in our country, and I mentioned this before, that there are so many Christians on either side of the political issue. You take the issue of abortion. There's Christians on either side of the abortion issue, the gender issues, immigration, politics. There are Republicans that can't fathom how somebody who calls himself a Christian would vote for a Democrat. And you know what? There are people who vote Democratic who say, I can't imagine how somebody can vote for Republican, right? So this is where we are with each issue and with each decision that we make. We think that our stance is right, and we're going to act out on what we believe. But what if it's not right? What if what we think is right is not right at all? It is not how God sees the issue. What if that's, what if we're missing the point? What if the choice that we make is not what God wants? Well, Scripture today has one of our disciples missing the point. He just flat out gets it wrong. So we're going to look at this today. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, page 841, in your red pew Bibles, Jesus had just predicted his death. He had just told his disciples, and we're picking up from where we were a couple weeks ago before we entered the season of Lent. And Jesus, if you recall, Jesus had told the disciples that he was heading to Jerusalem, he was going to be handed over to the religious leaders, and he was going to be killed. And 3 days later, he's going to be raised, but they didn't hear that part. They were just confused about it all. And then what Jesus did is he raised the bar on what it meant to be his follower. Okay? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I mean, he just raised the bar and told them that he's going to die. Okay, and so now we come upon this part of the scripture. I'm going to start reading in verse 28, all right? Let's pray before we jump into it. Father God, as we look into your word this morning, your word, there's something special about it. That when we allow it to penetrate our lives and then coupled with your Holy Spirit, things change in us. We look at things differently. We become different people. And Lord, that's what we pray for this morning. Most of all, we want to become more like Jesus. And so Lord, as we dive into this today, may that be the goal of our mind.
And Lord, I pray that my words do not get in the way of your truth here this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, starting in chapter 9, verse 28, it says this. About 8 days after Jesus had said these things about his death and the call of discipleship, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure from the earth, okay, about him dying and leaving the earth, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Now, pause there for a minute. Can you imagine being awakened to this? Okay, you're just having a good sleep or whatever, and all of a sudden, you're probably wakened by the flash of what's going on. And it's like, whoa, and to have all your heroes in one place. Can you imagine, whoever your heroes are, can you imagine them all being in one place together? This is a wow moment. This is like, oh my goodness, look, can you believe I have front row seats to this? All right, so this is Peter and the disciples. Let's continue. Verse 33, as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then in parentheses, Luke tells us he did not know what he was saying. Now, these shelters were just kind of little lean-tos that were to prolong the stay, right? They just he didn't want the day to end. He just wanted to prolong this event. Let's keep this good thing going. You know, that's what's going on. Verse 34, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. And the disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. I am struck by one line in this passage, and that's Luke's parenthetical comment there that Peter did not know what he was saying. Poor Peter. If you know anything about Peter in the Bible, he always seems to be saying, shooting off his mouth and just saying the wrong thing. I mean, he wants to do a good thing here. This is a good thing he wants to do, to prolong this holy moment, to capture this moment, right? But as soon as he says it, boom, it is shut down in an instant. Like, whoop, out of here, right? And he realizes, oops. And that reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit, for those of you who are Saturday Night Live fans, of Chris Farley back in the day. And he would do this skit where he would interview these famous people. And he would just be so nervous and shaking when he would be interviewing these famous people that he would just fumble around. And he would ask a really silly, dumb, basic question. And he would realize, God, so stupid. Why did I do that? We can imagine Peter doing that here. It's like, why did I do that? You know? I think that's us sometimes. That's us sometimes. You think about if a story was written about your life that documented your actions and the things that you said. I wonder how many times the narrator would say, if there was a movie of your life, I wonder how many times the narrator would say, and then Greg did this, but he did not know what he was doing. I think a lot of times in my life, that'd be the story of my life, right? Here's the thing about it. One day, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, we are going to be, each one of us are going to be seated before the judgment throne of Jesus and be judged on our actions. I mean, think about it. We're going to be sitting before Jesus. He's going to be there. He's going to be reviewing our life with us. And we're going to go, what was I thinking? Why did I think that was right? Why did I miss the point? The Apostle Paul gives us some warning about this in advance in Ephesians chapter 4 as he's writing to the church. He's writing to the church and he tells them, I want you to grow in your faith. Become more mature in your faith. Then he says this, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Folks, the world is cunning and crafty and deceitful. And we can easily be swayed to do things we kind of look back and just say, why did I do that? We can be swayed to buy things we don't need. We can be swayed to follow people and philosophies and political movements that don't align with Jesus. We don't want to be those people who say, how did I miss the point? So, how do we respond in the right way? With all the decisions that we have to make during the week, all the choices that we make, how can we make sure? How can we make sure that we are on God's side and we're not just doing whatever feels right to us? Or whatever, you know, most of the people are doing it like that, so I guess let's just do it or go along with the majority. And I think this story gives us some hints on how to not miss the point. Okay? Number one is this, commit to making Jesus number one. Commit to making Jesus number one. We read here, Peter wants to build 3 shelters, and while he is speaking, all of a sudden, this cloud appears, and God is in the cloud, and Moses and Elijah are gone. And it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. And it's a reminder here that Jesus is our priority. He is our focus. He is the primary figure for us. Nothing else. No one else. He's not one of many. He is the only. We need to remember that. It's like you go to Papa Jim's. You know Papa Jim's? Our favorite ice cream spot down here on Route 15. Great place to go. And you get a banana split at Papa Jim's. And you know, you have to decide on that banana split what toppings you want on that banana split. And there's a multitude to choose from. You know, it's like 100, right? Chocolate, caramel, butterscotch, strawberry, pineapple, Reese's Pieces, you know, just all kinds. We have the things to choose. We so many toppings to choose from. And I think a lot of people will look at Christianity as a topping for their banana split of life. Okay? In other words, Christianity and following Jesus is just another one of the choices that we have to make in our life. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm an employee, I have hobbies that I participate in, I have a gardening that I do, sports that I like, and by the way, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's a topping on my banana split of life. But the call of Jesus is not just another topping to add to my crowded banana split of life. Jesus is the ice cream. Okay? Jesus is the ice cream. He's the number one. He's the most important part of that banana split. Jesus does not work as an add-on. If you just try making Jesus an add-on to make your life better, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because if Jesus isn't the priority in your life, everything else in your life is going to get skewed, okay, by the other influences in your life that comes along. And so this is a question for everybody here. Is Jesus number one in your life? You need to answer that question. You need to be honest and answer that question. Is Jesus number one in your life? If you haven't, if you're thinking about it, you could do that right now. I mean, even just while I'm speaking, you deep in your heart, you can just say, God, I'm honest. Jesus is not number one. I want to make him number one in my life. I invite you to do that right now. If you haven't done that, I invite you to do that. Invite Jesus to be the priority of your life. And then the second thing that helps us to not miss the point is this, to obey the teachings of Jesus. The voice in the cloud said, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." And so it's not just enough. Part of making Jesus the priority of our life is that we're going to listen to and obey his words. Now, here's the other thing. We can get so familiar with being in church 40 or 50 years, we have heard vaguely those teachings of Jesus, but it's back in there somewhere. It's in one of the Gospels because Jesus said it. We just, if they're not front and center, we miss them. We just miss them. You know, and when we start missing those teachings of Jesus, you know what happens? That our desires start taking over. We start making our choices based on what we want, or the worldly influences start taking over. Many people say that they're Christian, but you know what? Their behavior does not always match up to the teachings of what Jesus said. And some of the primary teachings of Jesus was this: love other people. Over and over again, love other people. Take care of the poor and the downtrodden and the displaced. That was a focus of one of the things that Jesus said. I remember a couple years ago, I had a conversation with our sister Ruth Clowater, and part of her ministry, she went down to the border in Texas, near the border, and was working with some of the new immigrants that had just come across the border. They had just come across, they would register with immigration, and then they'd go and try and find their family. So these people coming across the desert. And so Ruth and some others there, they were just giving them sandwiches, giving them water, directing them, letting them use their phone, directing them where they could go, what they can do next. And Ruth shared with me one time when she had come back here, she just said, "I had a conversation with somebody who was anti-immigration. And they couldn't believe that she was going down there and doing that. They did not like the idea of her helping those people." But it's not like Ruth was funneling those people across the border. She was just meeting the needs of people who were trying to start a new life, who were hungry, who were poor, who had been displaced. The kind of people that Jesus said that we should help. We're not supposed to ask questions about why they got like that, why I can't help you, you made bad choices, or, that's illegal. Jesus just said, you help them. You help them. That's part of obeying the teachings of Jesus. Folks, I tell you this, I don't want my politics to get in the way of me following the teachings of Jesus. I don't want my selfishness or my personal desires to get in the way of me following the teachings of Jesus, because I know my politics and my desires can cause me to miss the point. I don't want to miss the point. And then we read in verse 32 that Peter and his companions were very sleepy. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Just stop and think about that moment. That they almost missed this incredible event. They almost missed it because they were just sleeping. Here's point number three: stay spiritually awake. Stay spiritually awake. And what I mean by that is this, and you can write this afterwards: nurture your spiritual life. Nurture your spiritual life. Last week, Diana and I got away for a couple days, and we went down to Bristol, Tennessee, and Abingdon, Virginia, down in Southwest Virginia. And then we come back, and the next morning we were back. I stepped on the scale, and I went, what? I gained 5 pounds over the weekend. 5 pounds. I was like, golly, right? I mean, but I know that happens because it's a four-hour drive down there, and so you're sitting in the car, not active, right? What do you do to stay awake? You know, drinking Mountain Dew to stay awake and eating snacks. I mean, it's just putting the LBs on, right? And then we get down there, and there's a sign on the door. Oh, don't forget, my favorite, try out this bakery. Well, of course, we got a dozen donuts, or a half dozen donuts, right? I mean, it's just what you do when you go on vacation. You eat well. But here's the deal. We know the importance of taking care of our body. We know that we're supposed to eat right, and we know the importance of exercise to take care of our body. We even know the importance of, you know, if things aren't, we're not thinking straight, sometimes we need to see a therapist or a life coach to mentally sort out those things. That's fine. We're okay with that. Shouldn't we do the same with our relationship with God? I mean, there are times when we go up and down in our spiritual life, right? There are moments when we're really close to God. There are other times when it's like me taking a trip and you gain 5 pounds. There are times when then my spiritual life becomes unhealthy, and I know that, man, I'm not as close to God as I should be. Now, here's the deal. If those of you who have physical problems and you go to the doctor and he says to you, hey, man, if you don't make some changes, you're going to die. And, you know, so what do? You have to cut out the salt, maybe cut out the sugar. And some of you have had doctor's experiences where I've heard the discussions, right? Man, I'm going to make a whole new diet. Did you know there's salt in this and this and this and this? And there's changes that you make, right? It's a little uncomfortable, but you make them. Why? Because you want to live long. And there's really no question. You do it, right? What if God would give us the same prescription? What if God would do the same thing to us and just say, listen, you know what you need to do? You need to turn off the TV. You need to turn off the TV and spend some time reading your Bible and just hanging out with me in silence and just listening to me. That's what you need. You need to put down the phone. Get off of social media. You need to stop working so much. You know, you have this thing that you always have to be busy. That's just the way that I am. I have to be busy. And God's like saying, dude, our relationship stinks because you can't stop long enough to just hang out with me. And so God says, stop and read and just talk to me and listen to me. It's okay. Use your gifts talents I've given you to serve other people. That will help you. When you nurture the spiritual life, you won't miss the main point of life. Now notice the scripture doesn't say that Jesus took these guys up in the mountain for a hike. I wish it would have. I would have liked that. You know, they went up on a hike in the mountain just to look at the overlook. It doesn't say that. It didn't say that Jesus took them up to show them how glorious he was. It doesn't say that. Why did he take them up the mountain? Do you remember when you read that? What did it say in Scripture? Why did he take them up the mountain? To pray. All this happened during prayer. This is number four, is we need to spend time in prayer. One of the things, if you pay enough attention in the book of Luke, you'll see that over and over, Luke is mentioning that Jesus spends a lot of time praying because I think he's making the point, good things happen when we pray. When you're praying, what are you doing? You're talking with God. You're listening to God. When you hear God's voice, you make better decisions, right? And there are less times then that we will miss the point. And then number five is just a reminder that the path is not easy. Peter wanted to stay there in glory land. He just wanted to live that out. This is awesome. Let's hang out, Jesus. This is awesome. Let's build three shelters. But in an instant, he is jolted out of that thought and reminded about the reality of what Jesus had to do. Jesus can't just hang out here in glory land. What did Jesus have? He was heading to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. Peter's reminded again of Jesus' call to the disciples. Jesus did not call the disciples, hey, let's go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? Let's all go to heaven. No. You know what Jesus said in verse 23? If you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's so easy for us to miss the point. It's easy for us to miss the good life that Jesus offers. And Jesus laid that out. In the book of Matthew, he said this, small is the gate. Think about this imagery that Jesus used. He said, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few people find it. Only a few people find it, he said. And so what is he saying? It takes hard work. You need to pay attention. You need to stay alert. You need to be committed to Jesus. But, he says, it leads to an abundant life that is more and better life than you can ever imagine. There's a story about a security guard at a famous art museum. And every day this security guard, he had been there for a number of years, but he would walk past these priceless paintings in this art gallery, you know, Van Gogh and Monet and Rembrandt, and he would just, you know, but he would know that gallery. He knew it inside and out. He knew where every frame was. He knew every creak in the floorboards, right? I mean, he just knew that whole place. But over time, he actually stopped looking at the art, and it just became a part of his job. You know, I'm just a security guard. And then one day, when he was standing there, a little girl came and stood in front of a painting right beside him. And she just looked at it, and her eyes got wide open. And she said, wow, it's beautiful. And in that moment, the guard was kind of shaken a little bit, and he finally looked again at that painting for the first time in a long time, and he saw it again. Folks, that's us. We are around the things of God. Church, people, family, convictions. But we can get so caught up in everything around Jesus that we stop really seeing Jesus. The cloud clears, and there he is, Jesus, alone. Not one of many, not just another topping, not just another choice, not just another part of your life, but the whole point of it. Let's not miss him. Would you bow your heads, please? And I want you just to imagine Jesus speaking to you right now. What is he saying to you? What is Jesus' invitation or call to you? How will you respond to him?
Father God, so much of our lives is spent missing the point. And you know that. And you forgive us. And you keep trying to hound us and getting our attention. So, Lord, this week, would you remind us about the priority of Jesus? About the priority of reading his word, and Lord, maybe even right now in this prayer time, we'll make a commitment to read his word this week and a commitment to obeying those words of Jesus. Lord, would you help us to rearrange our schedule? Cause us to pause this week to rearrange our schedule so that we can spend some more time with you. Things have just begun to crowd out our life, or we've had just brought habits into our life that have pushed you out. Lord, today's the day when we want to make you a priority again. And Lord, give us courage and strength to live out this new life that Jesus calls us to. We ask these things in his name. Amen.